Let's go ahead and pray before we dig into God's word together. Father, we thank you so much for your kindness, your goodness, your faithfulness. We thank you for the cornerstone, Christ alone, who is the cornerstone. And we thank you that we can look to him, and by his grace, by his blood, we can have forgiveness of sins and we can have eternal life. And it's really only because of the blood of Jesus, only because of what he did for us, that we're even able to be here, that we're able to come before you, to come before your throne in prayer and worship and fellowship. That, Father, we're not worthy to be able to do this. And yet, because of the cross, because of the blood, because of the resurrection of Jesus, we can be made new and we can experience life and we can share that life with one another. We can fellowship together and build one another up in the name of Jesus. And so, Father, as we look into your word this morning, as we look at Zechariah, please give us wisdom, give us understanding. Let us to see not just the meaning of your word, but how does it apply to our lives and how can we rightly respond in faith and obedience. We pray for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me ask a question. Why is it that you want your children or others you care about to be around people who are good influences? Why do we want that? Yeah, Robert said you become what you're around. We are influenced by people, right? I mean, that's just the reality. Every one of us, we are influenced. And so if we spend a lot of time with bad influences, then we tend to do bad things. If we spend a lot of time with good influences, we're much more likely to do good things. And kind of like what Robert just said, the old saying is usually true, show me your closest friends, and I'll show you your life in 5 years. That's typically going to happen for all of us. Now, the reality is, no matter who is in this room this morning, no matter who we are, we all need good leaders in our lives. We need people to help us and to be examples and to model things. And we can easily, because the reason we do is because we can easily be led astray. And so we need trustworthy people that can lead us well. We need help because we can too often deceive ourselves. And so if it's simply saying, well, I'll just make sure that I do the right thing, we can be deceiving ourselves so often. Our self-deception is so prevalent. So we need other people in our lives to model that for us, to guide us, to instruct us, to encourage us, to help us. And as we've been going through the book of Zechariah, we've seen that when you are renewed, we've been talking about this renewal, this newness in the Lord. When you're renewed and you return to the Lord, this incredible thing is that he will return to you. When you are chosen, your life has changed. You can experience what it means to be restored and to be strong in the Lord. We've talked about how you can be sure of his promises to you, and the evidence that you have been renewed is that there's that ongoing transformation in your life, that you're not the same anymore. And then you can expect certain things, including, like we saw last week, the Messiah. You can expect the Messiah for salvation. And so today we're going to look at being made new, and what does it look like to be renewed and to be right. If you are renewed by the Lord, then you will be right with the Lord, and you will follow him. So you will follow the right one. You will grow in faithfulness. You will grow in obedience to his word. And so you see, you notice as we go through Zechariah, it's not like there's just a bunch of random, unrelated messages that we see throughout this book. No, it's this constant reminder of this is what it looks like to be renewed. This is what that newness is for those who follow him, for those who follow the Lord. And so my purpose this morning in this message is that you will sincerely follow the right shepherd, staying on the right path. Please understand, both are true or neither is true. Right? Right following is following the right shepherd, which means you are on the right path. You can't say, well, yeah, I follow Jesus, but I've decided to take this path over here. No, right following is following the right shepherd, and then as a result, you're going to be on the right path. There's no plan B according to the word of God. There's no other way. It's his way or it's the wrong way. And so as we get ready to read Zechariah 10 and 11, I want you to consider two contrasting realities of who or what you follow. You see, there's no middle ground. The truth is absolute. We don't decide what truth is. God is the author of truth. You are either with God or you are not. You are either with God or you are without God. And so the first thing we're going to consider as we get ready to read chapter 10 is that right following brings redemption. Right following brings redemption. Again, because following the right one leads you on the right path. And so when you follow the right one, you experience redemption. The way, Jesus said, the way, the truth, the life. Not a way, the truth, the life. And so let's look at chapter 10 together and see this as we go through this. Zechariah chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. Ask the Lord for rain in the season of spring rain. And so, in other words, I want to stop there really quick before we go. Curtis, it's in the PowerPoint. You'll have to, Robbie, you might have to help him get back to that. And so, if you look at verse 1 really quick, don't look, what were they tempted to do? They were tempted to look to Baal, right? They were looking for to Baal and to other false gods for rain. He says, no, look to the Lord. Don't look to false gods to meet your needs. What do we need in an agricultural society? We need rain. We need provision. We need weather, things that we can't control. Look to the Lord who made you. Look to the Lord who sustains you. The blessing and the welfare that ended chapter 9 that we read last week, it ended with all of this promise of blessing and welfare and goodness. That comes and only comes from our Creator, the Lord God Almighty. And so he says, look to the Lord for the basic things that we need. Don't look somewhere else. Look to the Lord. The Lord makes the rain clouds, and he will give them showers of rain and crops in the field for everyone. For the idols speak falsehood, and the diviners see illusions. They relate empty dreams and offer empty comfort. Therefore, the people wander like sheep. They suffer affliction because there is no shepherd. My anger burns against the shepherds, so I will punish the leaders. For the Lord of hosts has attended his flock, the house of Judah. He will make them like his majestic steed in battle. From them will come the cornerstone, from them the tent peg, from them the battle bow, from them every ruler. Together they will be like warriors in battle, trampling down the mud of the streets. They will fight because the Lord is with them, and they will put horsemen to shame. I will strengthen the house of Judah and deliver the house of Joseph. I will restore them because I have compassion on them, and they will be as though I had never rejected them. For I am the Lord their God, and I will answer them. Ephraim will be like a warrior, and their hearts will be glad as if with wine. Their children will see and be glad. Their hearts will rejoice in the Lord. I will whistle and gather them because I have redeemed them. They will be as numerous as they once were. Though I sow them among the nations, they will remember me in the distant lands. They and their children will live and return. I will bring them back from the land of Egypt and gather them from Assyria. I will bring them to the land of Gilead and to Lebanon, but it will not be enough for them. He will pass through the sea of distress and strike the waves of the sea. All the depths of the Nile will dry up. The pride of Assyria will be brought down, and the scepter of Egypt will come to an end. I will strengthen them in the Lord, and they will march in his name. This is Yahweh's declaration. And so right following brings redemption. Follow the right one and you will be redeemed. That's what we're seeing here. That's this picture that he's drawing for us in this chapter 10. Restored in your relationship with God. When you follow him, he restores you, made right now and made right for eternity. In verse 1, we know this is true now. You know, the provisions of God, we know it's true now. And it's eternally true in a way that is perfect according to his promises, only for those who have been renewed and have been redeemed, though. Those who are right with him. And then in verse 2, he says, it's what will happen when you are not following the right one. You see, you can follow the right one and be renewed and be redeemed, or you cannot follow the right one, and then all of a sudden what happens? You look in all the wrong places because you're not following the right one. You look in all the wrong places, and so, like verse 3 declares, God is angry. He will judge those who lead others astray, but he will redeem his own. A shepherd takes care of his sheep. A warrior takes care of his horse. The Lord takes care of his people. And they would have understood all of these things. They would have understood what a shepherd does. They would have understood how much care a warrior gives to his horse that's going to bring him into battle. And he says, so just like those things, the Lord takes care of his people. The amazing promises of verses 4 through 12, all these things that we see as we read the last two-thirds of that chapter, they're ultimately fulfilled in and through Christ. They'll be fully realized when Jesus returns. It's like Acts 4, 11 and 12 says, this Jesus is the stone rejected by you builders, which has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men, and we must be saved by it. In other words, this is the name that saves. There's no other name to save. The name of Jesus. Jesus is the cornerstone that we just sang about right before the message. He also provides the stability and strength, like a tent peg or like a wall peg, depending on your translation. It's this picture of this big stake that you stick in the ground and it holds, makes stability for the tent, or you put it in the wall like a wall peg, and it's where the the warriors would hang their weapons and their armor. And it's that support and that strength and that stability. It comes from him. It comes from his people. Or power and victory like a battle bow, he says there. You see, this chapter is full of promises. Full of promises with the Lord being the one doing the work. I mean, just start going through these again, verses 4 through 12. Look who's doing all the actions here. The Lord strengthening, the Lord delivering, the Lord restoring, the Lord answering, the Lord being the reason for rejoicing, the Lord gathering, the Lord remembering, the Lord bringing people back, the Lord bringing victory, the Lord redeeming. We don't do any of this. It's the Lord who does it all. God is doing all of the work. And by the way, this was written after Israel had already returned from exile. You might read this and think, well, so is this talking about them returning? No, they're already back from exile. And so this was talking about something that was yet to come. It's talking about our redemption in the Lord. It's talking about the promised Messiah. Jesus, our cornerstone. You know, knowing and following the right shepherd is essential for all of us. The right shepherd. If I was to say this morning that, let's say you have some hogs that need to be raised right, are you going to ask me or are you going to talk to the Humphreys family if you want to know how to raise hogs? You're not going to talk to me, right? That's not going to be of any help to you. If you are getting ready to start a dairy farm and you've got a bunch of cattle that need to be milked and you need to run the operation, are you going to talk to me or are you going to talk to the Bormans and the Blosses? You are not going to get any help from me. I'm not the one. You don't want to follow my advice. If you have some goats and you have some alpacas, are you going to say, hey, Nick, what do I do with these goats and alpacas? Or are you going to talk to James and Tammy? You're going to talk to the Smileys. I'm not going to be much help with the goats and the alpacas. I'll feed them something because they'll eat anything. But if you have some sheep that need to be shepherding, right, are you going to talk to me or are you going to talk to Jake and Casey and the Gatson family? You're not going to ask me for advice on how to shepherd sheep. I wouldn't know what to do. And so that's obvious. Like, you would never think to yourself, well, you know, I've got these animals to raise. I think I'll just go talk to Nick about it. No, I mean, that wouldn't even cross your mind. Why? Because you want to follow the right advice, the right person, the right path. Just like you need to go to the experts for your farming needs, you need to go to the expert for your greatest needs. Only Jesus can shepherd our souls. He created you. Only Jesus can sustain you and lead you and give you purpose and give you meaning. And so why would we go somewhere else? Why would we look to the world? Why would we look to all of these other things when Jesus is the one who shepherds our souls? Jesus is the one who renews us. Jesus is the one who redeems us. So let's not look to other places. Let's not go to these false shepherds. Only Jesus. And so on the one side, right following brings redemption. But on the flip side of that, the contrasting reality is that wrong following brings destruction. Again, there's no middle ground here. You can't say, yeah, you know, I want to follow Jesus and I want the redemption. I want to have eternal life, but I'd kind of like to do these other things for a while. I'd like to go on my own path. I really like what this guy's doing. I really like this hobby. I really like this thing. You know, it's not what the Bible calls me to do, but I'd like to live this life. And so I'll take the redemption, but then I'll kind of do my own thing. No, there's no middle ground. We either are redeemed or we are headed for destruction. You are either in the right following Jesus or you are in the wrong following someone or something else. So let's look at Zechariah 11. So when we look at Zechariah 11, we see this really bad stuff, really bad news that we're going to read about here. So starting in verse 1, open your gates, Lebanon, and fire will consume your cedars. Wail, cypress, for the cedar has fallen. The glorious trees are destroyed. Wail, oaks of Bashan, for the stately forest has fallen. Listen to the wail of the shepherds, for their glory is destroyed. Listen to the roar of young lions, for the thickets of the Jordan are destroyed. The Lord my God says this, shepherd the flock intended for slaughter. Those who buy them slaughter them but are not punished. Those who sell them say, praise the Lord because I have become rich. Even their own shepherds have no compassion for them. Indeed, I will no longer have compassion on the inhabitants of the land, the Lord's declaration. Instead, I will turn everyone over to his neighbor and his king. They will devastate the land and I will not deliver it from them. So I shepherded the flock intended for slaughter, the afflicted of the flock. I took two staffs, calling one favor and the other union. These two staffs, by the way, one staff would be for Israel, one staff would be for Judah, right? You have these two different divisions in the people there. And on the one hand, there was favor, the staff called favor. There was favor of the rest and the peace because of God's faithfulness to keep his covenant. And so he had favor, despite the fact they didn't deserve it, just like we don't deserve it. There's the staff of favor. Also, there was union. So there was union, of course, with them and God, but there was union between one another, Israel and Judah, which, as we're going to see in verse 14 in just a little bit when we get to the end of the chapter, that union was broken. And so those are the two staffs. And I shepherded the flock, he said. In 1 month, I got rid of three shepherds, prophet, priest, and king. Those are the three, probably what he's talking about there. I became impatient with them, and they also detested me. Then I said, I will no longer shepherd you. Let what is dying die, and let what is going astray go astray. Let the rest devour each other's flesh. Next, I took my staff called favor and cut it in two, annulling the covenant I had made with all the peoples. It was annulled on that day. And so the afflicted of the flock who were watching me knew that it was the word of the Lord. Then I said to them, if it seems right to you, give me my wages. But if not, keep them. So they weighed my wages, 30 pieces of silver. Does this sound familiar? Throw it to the potter, the Lord said to me. This magnificent price, I was valued by them. So I took the 30 pieces of silver and threw it into the house of the Lord, to the potter. There's some sarcasm here, right? When he says, that, oh, look at this magnificent price. Ooh, 30 pieces of silver. Is that what my redemption is worth? This way too low value that was being placed on God's grace to redeem his people. And of course, it's not a coincidence that this is the amount of silver, the exact amount of silver that Judas Iscariot received to betray Jesus. When Jesus would redeem us from our sins by dying on the cross, 30 pieces of silver. It's not nothing, but it's certainly not. It's a mockery, is what it is. And so there's this mockery of the Lord and who he is and what he has done. And Judas, eventually, what did he do? He threw the money back. He threw it back, and it was used to buy the potter's field. This isn't irony, guys. This isn't irony. This isn't coincidence. But this is the fulfillment of prophecy in a very specific way that you can't predict unless you're the Lord God Almighty. So verse 14, he says that I cut in to my second staff, union. There's that breaking of the union between them and God and between one another, division with God, division with the people. He said, annulling the brotherhood between Judah and Israel. And now before we look at verse 15, notice then the people weren't following the good shepherd. So what's going to happen? They weren't following the good shepherd. And so now God tells Zechariah to portray a bad shepherd, a fool who will lead the people astray. And so that's where we go here. They won't follow the good. And so just like Romans 1 says, God's going to deliver them over to the bad. Look at then verse 15. The Lord also said to me, take the equipment of a foolish shepherd. I'm about to raise up a shepherd in the land who will not care for those who are going astray, and he will not seek the lost or heal the broken. He will not sustain the healthy, but he will devour the flesh of the fat sheep and tear off their hooves. Here we might have an allusion to the Antichrist and or any sort of false prophets, false teachers, anyone who is leading people astray, evil ones who seek to lead us astray. This is what we see here. And then look at how the chapter ends. He says, woe to the worthless shepherd who deserts the flock. May a sword strike his arm and his right eye. May his arm wither away and his right eye go completely blind. And so wrong following brings destruction. Wrong following brings destruction. This is terrible news for all who reject the right one. For all who refuse to surrender to him, for all who then do not experience this renewal that Zechariah has been talking about, who aren't made right with God by turning to him. And especially, how especially terrible is this news for all the worthless shepherds, all the false teachers who lead others astray, who say, yeah, you may want to read this book, but no, I've got something different I want to share with you. I've got another way. It's going to feel better. You're going to like the way it sounds. In the first three verses, we see Jerusalem being destroyed. In chapter 11, the first three verses, if you look back, that's a picture of Jerusalem being destroyed. The people rejected the Messiah. And there were consequences to rejecting the Messiah. In fact, this may be even a prediction of what really did happen in 70 AD. Remember, in 70 AD, if you go back and you read history, General Titus and the Roman army, they completely destroyed Jerusalem, including the temple. We just talked about last week how Alexander the Great did all of these things that kind of seemed to fulfill what chapter 9 was talking about, but he didn't destroy Jerusalem. It wasn't promised then, but then all of a sudden here we see Jerusalem will be destroyed too. And it happened by the Roman Empire in 70 AD. Leaders fell. People wailed. Their glory was destroyed, just like we see in the first three verses. And let's be clear. Let's understand something. Human leaders always fall short, always. No exceptions. Human leaders always fall short. Following anyone, no matter how great they are, following any human leader, unless they are pointing you to the leader, to the Messiah, following any human leader will lead to destruction. No exceptions to that. Unless the leader is saying, he's the one who will deliver. Unless that leader is pointing you to the Messiah, do not follow human leaders. Did you notice how in verses 4 through 14, we see a reminder of what happened in the past when the good shepherd, the Lord, graciously tried to lead his people away from destruction and tried to lead them to salvation, but they refused to follow him. What happens then? Destruction. He doesn't say, well, you know, you didn't really follow, but as long as it makes you happy, as long as it's your truth. No, there was no other option. You either follow the Messiah to salvation or destruction. You go the other way and you get destruction. For all three kinds of shepherds, he says there. He says all three, and again, it's probably talking about what were the three shepherds that God had given the nation of Israel. He had given them kings. He had given them priests. He had given them prophets. And yet through all the three of those groups of people, there had been people that were not leading. They were not loving the people. They were not following God's word. And so he delivered them over to destruction. All three. And if you reject the Messiah, if you reject the prophet, you reject the priest, the king of kings, the final prophet, the priest, the high priest overall, if you reject him, then he will reject you. You'll end up following all the fools, all the false shepherds, like at the end of the chapter. And what happens? Your life will be a mess. It will be a disaster. You will be headed for destruction. I'm going to show you this. What's wrong with this Newton's cradle? Just looking at it, what's wrong with it? Yeah, it's not going to work for a while. You're supposed to be able to pull this out and they hit each other and go back. No, it's all tangled up. It's a mess, right? This is not how this is supposed to be. Now, let me ask this. Do you think it was difficult to make it a mess like that? No. No, I mean, it's like a hose or like an extension cord or like Christmas lights or like ropes or like strings, right? It's just like that. Like that, it become a mess. I mean, you can be like, what in the world just happened? You try to get it untangled. So like that, it can become a mess, but it takes a lot of hard work and a lot of patience and perseverance to fix this mess. And to be clear, I can't just set this somewhere and it's not going to fix itself. I can't just go like, it doesn't fix itself. No matter what, this will not fix itself. You can't just get those Christmas lights out next November, which by the way, it has to be November. Let's be clear. You can't wait till December. You cannot get those Christmas lights out in November and they're all messed up and you just say, well, I'll just hang them on the wall here. They'll straighten out. You have to do something. We're just like that. It just seems like that. Our lives can become a mess. It doesn't take anything at all. In fact, the reality is we are destined for our lives to be a mess because of our sin. Well, it's just the path that we're headed on because of our sin, every one of us without exception. And it's so quick, you look back and you say, what happened? My life's a disaster because of sin. And we're so quick to follow all the wrong ways. And it'd be like giving the wrong person control of this thing, and they start doing all this stuff the way it's not created to be. It's not supposed to be like this. But when the wrong person gets a hold of this and it's following the wrong path, then all of a sudden it's a disaster. It's headed for destruction. But praise God. Praise God for the redemption that's found in Jesus, though. Because he and he alone, he untangles the mess. We can't untangle our own mess. We can't fix the destruction. We can't save ourselves from the disaster that we've brought upon us because of our sin. No, Jesus alone untangles the mess. And so are you following him? Because if you follow him, that leads to redemption. If you follow any other way, it's this right here. This is our lives. Now, and more importantly, for eternity. Remember, I said my purpose is that you will sincerely follow the right shepherd, staying on the right path. So just let's ask ourselves that question. In what direction is your life headed? It's either in the right direction or it's in the wrong direction. Again, following the right one according to his word, that's the only right direction. And so we can't say, well, yeah, I'm pretty much going in the right way, but every once in a while I just want to do my own thing. No, you're either going the right way or you're going the wrong way. Following the right one according to his word. According to his word, that's the only right way. God's design for your life is the only plan that will satisfy you. And more importantly, it's the only plan that will not fail you in the end, that won't end up like this. It's the only plan. But we're all sinners, and we know that. And so we have to be honest and look at ourselves and say, I'm a sinner, and so I can't follow the right way. My sin causes me to look like this. It causes me to experience all of these problems. Following any way that's contrary to God's way, that's clearly defined by God's word, that's sin. The big or the little, it doesn't matter. It's all sin when we go against the word of God, and sin leads to brokenness. You see, what we just read about here in chapter 11, all those false prophets, all those terrible shepherds, all those wrong ways that people were going, those are the result of sin and brokenness. Ultimately, this leads to a broken relationship with God, which means that every one of us, we deserve to spend eternity in hell because we're destined for destruction because of our sin and our brokenness. And there's only one thing that can fix our problem, and that's the gospel. The gospel, the truth that Jesus died on the cross in our place. He took our sin upon himself. He died for our sins. And then on the third day, he rose from the dead. He won the victory over sin and death forever. And so if you simply repent, and the Bible calls it repentance, that's a turning away from sin. If you simply repent of your sins and you believe on Jesus for forgiveness and salvation, he will give you a new life. You see, turning from your sin and surrendering your life to Jesus is the only way to be saved from brokenness now and brokenness for eternity. And let's be clear, we're still broken sinners. Sometimes our lives do still look like this. We're still broken. We're not there yet. But we can follow the perfect shepherd. We can follow the perfect shepherd. And so it's this idea that we're no longer content to walk in that sin. We're not happy with this. We're not happy with a broken life. You see, that's one of the big differences between someone who has turned from sin and is following Jesus. Whenever life starts to look like this, we cry out to God, God, I don't want this. I don't want the brokenness. I want to walk with you. I want to walk on your path. Why do we do that? Because the Holy Spirit has changed us. And so all of a sudden we recover and we pursue the perfect plan and purpose that God has for our lives. We desire that harmony and that love and that peace that we have with God, and then as a result that we have with one another. And so when you turn from sin and you trust in Jesus, you have the promise of eternal life, but you also have God in your life now to change you and to grow you through the work of his Holy Spirit. You're never the same again. That's that renewal that we're talking about. That's that rightness that we're talking about. Are you there yet? Are you following the right one? Are you staying on the right path? And really, are you helping others to follow Jesus and to stay on his path? Who's your one? Who are you praying for to walk with Jesus? Are you praying? Are you sharing? Are you making disciples? Remember, that is part of following Jesus, by the way. We can't say, yeah, I'm doing good, but I don't really talk about it. No, that's not how it works. If you've experienced that renewal, and if you've experienced that right following the right one, then you want others to follow the right one. That's just part of how it works when we receive the Holy Spirit in our lives, in our hearts. And so we want others. And so be in the Word of God. Obey the Word of God. Share the Word of God. Father, we do pray for your help today to do that. We know that none of us in this room is good enough to untangle the mess in our lives, to untangle the mess in anyone's life. And so, Father, we thank you that Jesus does that. He fixes the brokenness. He heals the heartache. He takes away the sin. And Father, even though we're still sinners, even though it's a lifelong process of growing and being changed and being renewed, we thank you, Father, that we can experience that freedom from brokenness. We can experience what life is supposed to be for those who know and follow you. Not because we're good enough, not because we're smart enough, not because we're strong enough, but because we follow the right one, the right shepherd. And he helps us to walk along the right path. And so, Father, I want to pray this morning for anyone who's in this room, anyone who's watching online that hasn't yet trusted in you to save them from their sins. Please, God, give them the desire in their mind and in their heart right now to just cry out to you, to ask you to forgive them, to take over their life, to change them, to help them to walk along that right path by following the right one. Father, help all of us to desire to see more and more people follow the right shepherd. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.